Red Line.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and his weekend program, The Red Line, with me, Andrew Kuripko. Welcome to today's program, and this is what we want to highlight as the news-breaking stories of the week that proved to be extremely tense, dramatic, and controversial. Refugee crisis. Putin blames the West. Russian President Vladimir Putin recently laid the blame for the world's largest humanitarian crisis squarely on the shoulders of the West, saying that it wouldn't have been possible had they not pursued their flawed foreign policies in the Mideast. Yellow journalism. Media invents a Russian intervention. Spurred on by a shady article from the backwaters of the internet, the Western mainstream media pounced on Russia and completely invented an adventurous military campaign. And also, Julian Assange, new book, new perspectives. The WikiLeaks leader has released a new book where he revisits the impact that his organization's leaks have had all across the world. So let us come to our first section, Beyond the Headlines, to speak about how the West is at fault for triggering the refugee crisis. Russian President Vladimir Putin recently laid the blame for the world's largest humanitarian crisis squarely on the shoulders of the West, saying that it wouldn't have been possible had they not pursued their flawed foreign policies in the Mideast. The dual campaigns of regime change in Libya and Syria are responsible for unleashing the untold suffering that has affected millions of people in these formerly stable and well-off countries. While most of Syria's refugees are internal ones, there are still a couple million that have opted to leave the country for the neighboring states of Turkey, Lebanon, and Jordan, for example. Held in refugee camps and unable to leave for years, they were finally set free by Ankara and swarmed en masse to Europe's shores, ushering in the current crisis. Europe still remains oblivious to why this is happening, however, and refuses to acknowledge its culpability in setting off the whole chain of events. So joining us to discuss this issue is our in-studio guest, Mr. Vladimir Kozin, who is the professor at the Russian Academy of Military Sciences and chief advisor and head of the advisors group at the Russian Institute of Strategic Studies attached to the Russian presidential administration. They have you. So, you know, we're discussing President Putin's comments about the refugee crisis. And in your view, who is to blame for the refugee crisis, and where is it all headed? Now that events are spiraling out of control, what can we expect to see in the future?
The main culprits of this crisis are the United States of America and a number of European countries, the member of NATO alliance, who inspired conflicts across Northern Africa and in the broader Middle East, especially in Iraq and against Syria. And it caused a great exodus of refugees. I specifically using the term refugees because they are not economic migrants. That's a total different story. Economic migrants occupies only a small portion of these people who are moving from that places to Europe, for example. They are bona fide refugees and trying to escape from war-torn areas to protect their families from invasions, killings, shortage of food, etc., etc. It's a real global refugee crisis. I came across recently of the latest edition of the New York Times, and it said that about 12 million Syrians have been displaced so far, and 4 million of them abroad since 2011, when the civil war in Syria erupted. And, for example, Germany has already registered 450,000 refugees, including slightly more than 100,000 in August and 70,000 in the first 8 days of September. And Bundeskanzlerin Madame Merkel predicts that by the end of the current year, Germany will accept 0.8 million refugees from that area I mentioned. So nearly 1 million. And there could be plenty more people that would seek asylum in Europe, because some countries like Germany and other countries, France, partly the United Kingdom, they agreed to accept a certain portion of these poor people and trying to extend a helping hand to them. But a number of countries are not so happy because they are afraid of that it might upset the balance of culture, the security pattern in their countries that may cause tension between local people, local citizens, and incoming refugees. But we are still confronting with this fear, misunderstanding, or even racism. In the Federal Republic of Germany, there were 200 arsons against refugee shelters. I mean, setting ablaze, setting fire, that's not so good. Europe, I think, despite such a great influx, exodus of refugees, should take care about all of them, offer them subsidies, money for living, shelter, medical and educational services, etc. Because it's very difficult to imagine the situation that some European leaders openly voiced a possibility to fire at this poor people who might sail from Libya, from other northern African countries, via Italy, via France, via Spain to Europe by using guns. Even European countries are pushing for a United Nations Security Council resolution to allow the military forces to apprehend human smuggling vessels in the international waters of the Mediterranean Sea. And diplomats in the United Nations speculate the draft resolution would authorize military action on a specific route on the high seas. It's not very good.
Right now we have Ghassan Kadi on the line to tell us more about this, and he's a Syrian-Lebanese activist who has been writing about the war on Syria since it first began. All right, so Ghassan, in your latest article for The Saker, Jesu Aylan, you write about how the refugees entering Europe didn't just leave Syria now. Can you please elaborate on this a bit for our listeners and tell us a little bit about how Turkey is connected to all of this?
The big waves of refugees left their homes when the war started, and some people realized that they were caught on the wrong side, or when they realized that they lived in a battle zone. Later on, as fighting spread and intensified, more areas became unsafe, and they eventually got vacated. But there are no new hotspots developing now, and there are no refugees leaving Syria now, despite the heavy fighting that's still going on. That said, Andrew, we must remember that most refugees, like 80% of them perhaps, stayed within Syria. And those people support their government. They wanted to stay in Syria because they have sons and daughters in the army and in civil defense forces, and they wanted to stay behind and soldier on. It was mostly the anti-government refugees who went outside. And I'm not saying that every refugee who left Syria was against the government or a terrorist. No. But the ones, you know, like there was a fair percentage of terrorists there. I can't tell you the exact figure. I don't have a breakdown here. But definitely the ones that stayed, they were good. Some of the ones who left are against the government. And if anything, Erdogan wanted to lure them. I mean, those people went primarily to Turkey, Lebanon, and Jordan. But Erdogan in specific wanted to lure them because he wanted to have fighters on standby to mobilize in Syria when needed. But now they are no longer needed and they are no longer welcome. Also, we have to remember that in Turkey, those refugees were always restricted to their camps. They were not allowed to go outside. So to see them leaving in such a huge numbers, we have to say that this movement is government facilitated.
That's actually what I wanted to ask you about now, because it sounds like to me, you know, of course, Turkey has been involved in the regime change war in Syria from the very start. And now, as you mentioned, is opening up the floodgate of refugees against Europe, and some of whom, as we suspect, could be terrorists. So what kind of game do you think Ankara is playing in? What do you even think it's aiming for? What's the main goal here?
Well, the name of the game Ankara is playing is simply game over. Erdogan knows that the war on Syria is in its final chapters, and he is trying to protect himself and minimize his losses. And this includes getting rid of Islamist fighters that are living on Turkish soil. And let's not forget that just recently, ISIS has forfeited Erdogan's blood for pledging to fight them. And whether or not Erdogan ends up fighting ISIS, in allowing the exodus of the terrorists, there is a subtle indication here that he is no longer planning to mobilize them in Syria. But on another wavelength, what else did he have in mind? I have no doubt that he also wants to punish the West by offloading the Islamist terrorists to countries, you know, like France, Germany, Britain, because he feels he's being let down. But let's not forget that the most pressing issue on Erdogan's mind at the moment, of course, is the upcoming November election. He's already lost one election in June. This November election is going to be very, very decisive for his political future. So his main obsession now is to win that election. And maybe, just maybe, I don't know much about internal Turkish politics, but perhaps in sending those terrorists away may give him just a little bit of extra support at the polls. And this is probably what he's hoping for as well, you know, at the domestic front.
All righty, Mr. Kadi, that was very informative. But right now, we've got to move on. We're running a little bit out of time. Thank you. Okay, and joining us as well is Mr. Gilbert Mercier. He's an editor-in-chief of News Junkie Post. Gilbert, what are your thoughts on President Putin's assessment that this refugee crisis should have been expected and is due to the West failing foreign policy in the Mideast?
I think it's completely accurate, and it's actually not limited to the Middle East, but also include Africa, Afghanistan, and so on. It also includes, curiously enough, Ukraine. It's been going on since the West hijacked the so-called Arab Spring to turn into a regime change policy. It worked well in Libya, okay, but it didn't work so well against Bashar al-Assad in Syria. So, and as a matter of fact, it turned that refugee crisis that Europe is discovering today. Le Monde, an old French newspaper and institution, sent 30 reporters worldwide to cover the immigration. Well, they should have thought about it 4 years ago and sent reporters in Libya and in Syria when the French government was planning to join the U.S. to bomb Bashar al-Assad in 2013. They are collecting from the misdeed, and that is the consequences.
Okay, well, I wanted to ask you now, kind of following up on this a bit, how do you anticipate the West dealing with this massive influx of people in? What do you think the consequences will be in Europe?
The thing is, Andrew, Germany, and you have tipped your hat to Angela Merkel, took the lead in the issue, and she wants, well, she has kind of a lead anyway because Germany is the biggest economy in Europe, and François Hollande, well, he's a poodle of Washington, even more than she is. She wants, and it's going through in Brussels, it's been hammered down, and it's going to go through. They're going to take on 160,000 refugees in the coming 2 years, and there will be a quota for each country, and it's going to be mandatory, and Angela Merkel insists on it. France has already committed to receive 24,000 refugees in the coming 2 years, and the other European country will have to play along. And it's only fair considering that it's a situation that they've largely helped create.
Okay, yeah, you know, of course, and they definitely helped create this, as we were talking about with foreign policy failing. So what kind of solution do you think would satisfy both sides of this debate?
Well, the refugee crisis, Andrew, is absolutely huge. Just to give an idea to your listener, there's 2 million Syrian in Turkey, and I actually suspect that Turkey is sort of negotiating some kind of deal with Germany to, we won't cut the Syrian loose, but we need to get something out of it, okay? So the situation in Syria is even worse. The West and their various jihadist allies have destroyed the cradle of civilization, which is Syria. There's already been 4 million refugees that are gone from Syria. There's 6.5 million refugees within Syria. And this is the handiwork of the West with the support of Saudi Arabia's money and Qatar's money. This is the stupidity of the West geopolitics. And what I hope is that this crisis in question in Europe, and they're doing the right thing. Again, Angela Merkel and Hollande are doing the right thing. We'll make them realize that being a poodle of Washington in terms of foreign policy is not a good idea.
Gilbert, thank you as always for sharing insight with us, but running short on time. Thank you very much. And with this, we're wrapping up our first section of Redline, so we're thanking all of our guests for participating, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Vladimir Kozin, professor at the Russian Academy of Military Sciences and chief advisor and head of the advisors group at the the Russian Institute of Strategic Studies, attached to the Russian presidential administration, Mr. Ghassan Khadi, a Syrian-Lebanese activist who has been writing about the war on Syria since it first began, and Mr. Gilbert Mercier, editor-in-chief of the News Junkie Post. Following in our program, we have Yellow Journalism, Media Invents a Russian Intervention, and Julian Assange, new book, new perspectives. Stay with us.